be seated. A few years ago, I arrived at a point in my life when I could no longer convince myself that corrective glasses were not necessary. As we age, we often need some assistance, usually in the form of glasses. And so here I am, like it or not, and I just hope that wearing glasses actually does make me look smarter. According to the National Eye Institute, presbyopia is a common type of vision disorder that occurs as one ages. When we're younger, the lens of the eye is soft and flexible, allowing the tiny little muscles inside the eye to reshape the lens so that it can focus on objects at any distance. Presbyopia results in the inability to focus on objects that are up close. The older, less adaptable lens causes light to focus behind the retina, causing blurred vision. Being able to see is arguably the most important of our senses. The majority of the information out there for us to take in is visual in nature. When vision ages and corrective lenses are necessary, it's more than just a helpful thing. It's necessary. Being able to see clearly is beneficial for our own sake, but also for the people all around us. I think there's an important distinction to be made between being able to see and vision. They're not necessarily the same thing. Vision is a way of seeing that doesn't necessarily rely on objects being in focus. In fact, vision may be more associated with things that are beyond our sight, in our peripheral areas. Vision almost always focuses on blurry things. Consider what's going on in the gospel today as a study in vision versus seeing. It's a case of spiritual presbyopia. Consider how one person labeled blind actually possesses a visual acuity so great that everyone around him ends up seeing more clearly because of his blindness. The lesson we have today is about correcting our vision so that we can see Jesus better. Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus while there's still quite a good distance between them. Jesus is somewhere in the midst of a large crowd of people that includes his disciples and friends and a whole bunch of other people from the city, and they're all moving. It would be hard for anyone to pick out an individual from a moving crowd. The gospel writer Mark singles out an individual in this story who has an additional challenge in the situation with a sight impairment. Bartimaeus's up-close vision might not be that great, but Bartimaeus has no trouble perceiving Jesus from a distance. The text describes Bartimaeus as blind, and yet not only is he able to identify Jesus in a moving crowd at a distance, he recognizes Jesus in his true nature. He calls out to Jesus and addresses him with, "Son of David." This changes the whole direction of the narrative. The way Bartimaeus addressed Jesus is significant in Mark's account. The title, "Son of David," it's not just a nickname for Jesus. He isn't recognizing some family resemblance in the David line. No, "Son of David" is way more important than a statement of genealogy. This is a messianic title. Throughout the gospel, according to Mark, we're introduced to a whole realm of the supernatural. Mark pulls into greater focus the presence of personalities, forces, and influences that exist and function on the peripheral areas of our common life. Some of these forces seek to draw us away from the love of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Others invite us to help make grace and love and the kingdom of heaven also largely peripheral, make these things more visible for everyone. Bartimaeus is drawing into crisp focus, front and center, what everyone else is keeping vaguely off to the side. When people refer to Jesus as the Son of David, they're addressing the long-awaited fulfillment of the prophecies in the Hebrew texts. For Bartimaeus to call out this particular form of address and title to Jesus, he demonstrates that there was nothing wrong with his spiritual vision. He might have had some form of visual impairment, but he could see better than anyone else there who was actually passing before him. Our visual acuity changes gradually over the course of our lifetimes. Sometimes we hardly even notice until it's really difficult to focus. Or maybe someone points out that we seem to be squinting quite a lot. Or maybe we find our arms just aren't quite as long as they used to be anymore. Oh, yes, I could read that perfectly well. If we're wise, we trust the observations of others around us, or if you're like me, you'll simply find ways to prove that there isn't a problem at all. When someone suggests reading glasses, or heaven forbid, bifocals, there may be a knee-jerk reaction to silence that opinion. Is today's lesson about correcting vision or stubbornness? Maybe it's both. The immediate response of the people around Bartimaeus is to silence him. He was trying to help the people around him see what was really there. The text says many sternly ordered him to be quiet. Why do you think they would do that? If Bartimaeus was just a poor blind beggar hanging out on the roadside, hollering out at people, well, who cares what he has to say? There are plenty of people who shout out at other people and they're ignored, so why give this guy any attention? Why indeed? Perhaps they know the truth about their own inability to see clearly. Perhaps this is a case of not wanting to see, because seeing means that they have to change. The gospel pericope for today begins in this way. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, that's when Bartimaeus spots him. Apparently, nothing happened in Jericho while Jesus was visiting, and it was a very short visit. It's unusual. I think the large crowd escorting Jesus out of Jericho know in their hearts who Jesus is and that he's the Messiah, and that he has indeed passed through their city. But if they do the crowd thing well enough, and they keep him moving, maybe Jesus won't have time to disrupt their lives with miracles, healings, or teachings, or ask anyone to change the way they align their lives more toward the way of love and the beauty of the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus is almost out the other side of the city with no troubles. This Jesus, who has become famous for teaching and healing and miracles, all of which ruffle the feathers of the people in power, he has had a lovely visit with no awkward encounters. So let's not start now, am I right? And then there's Bartimaeus. We could almost read this part as though it were a scene in one of those cult horror movies when the innocent teen at the house party narrowly escapes the masked, machete-wielding murderer by hiding under the stairs. The bad guy is just about to exit out the back door when her cell phone goes off. Son of David! Oh, the crowd thinks, we were so close. We almost had Jesus out the door. The people escorting Jesus through the city understood exactly what was meant when a voice from the margins called Jesus, Son of David. Jesus, as good as he was, as a miracle worker and a teacher and a healer, was still a threat to the status quo. It was probably great to have him in town, but clearly he wasn't going to stay long, certainly long enough to reveal the beauty and the grace and the love of the kingdom of heaven to the people he might have met in the streets or over a meal had he had time. Unlike those who cried out in faith for mercy from God, the leaders in so many of the communities that Jesus visited were blinded by their own character flaws, like fear and arrogance and the need for power or wealth or control. They were so blinded that they couldn't see what the blind beggar was seeing. Their faith and trust in the eternal love of God and the infinite compassion of the Christ had been right next to him, all of them, this whole time. The long-awaited-for Messiah could have been clearly in focus if only they looked with the eyes of their heart instead. But instead, they worked to prevent others from seeing Jesus in such a way. Bartimaeus cried out and got Jesus' attention, and everyone else too. Don't we all turn immediately when we hear our name called? I'm sure many in the crowd were already calling out, "Jesus, Jesus!" And Jesus kept walking. But now, someone has called out Jesus by his real identity. It catches his attention, and he turns toward that voice. Here is the moment where Mark takes us right into that supernatural realm. Bartimaeus is able to see with keener sight than anyone with 20/20 vision. Jesus is now interacting with Bartimaeus in his actual spiritual messianic self. He knows Bartimaeus is seeing with the eyes of his soul. Perhaps in this moment, only Jesus and Bartimaeus are clear. Everyone and everything else is out of focus. Now, here is where Mark makes us reevaluate our understanding of sight and visual acuity. Jesus gives the command, "Call him here." Call him here. Not lead him here. Not carry him here. Call him here. Bartimaeus can see just fine when he's using the eyes of his heart and the vision of his soul. Jesus and Bartimaeus are now functioning on the level of the holy. What's happening all around them? I hope a big transformation. Not only are we witnessing this moment and our view of it is being corrected right before our eyes, so too is this happening to everyone around them. Whereas a moment ago, Bartimaeus was being hushed because he could not see, the crowd traveling with Jesus have been silenced because they can now see. Bartimaeus may have had some kind of visual disturbance, but it wasn't so disturbed that he lost his ability to see. Because of his faith and relationship with God, Bartimaeus now has both sight and vision, and he asks to see more. His healing serves everyone in Jericho because they've been shown how to connect the dots between the Messiah of the Hebrew scriptures and the Christ walking amongst them. They may not have realized that their vision of the kingdom of heaven had become blurry over time. Let's not be harshly judgmental here. Perhaps they honestly thought shuffling Jesus through the city at arm's length was enough that they could say, "Oh, we saw the Messiah. Yes, I can see him here, very plain as day." Blind Bartimaeus has served to correct everyone's vision. And the first thing he does with his restored sight is to ask to see more and to join in the way of love. My hope is that all the witnesses to this miraculous healing will resist the urge to explain away the power of seeing with the sight of the soul and the eyes of the heart. There's so much beauty and grace and love in the kingdom of heaven. It's all around us all the time. It doesn't have to remain in the periphery. God's love and grace working through our vision of the kingdom of heaven serves us and the whole community around us. While this love and grace and beauty is powerful, even while it's blurry, just imagine what it can do for the world when it comes into sharp focus. When we pay heed to those amongst us who see with the eyes of the Spirit, with the sight and the vision of their hearts, we all benefit. Who in our parish community is called to correct our vision? Maybe it's you. Amen.